You know, I think the enemy wants us to disbelieve and defeat us to feeling like that our lives aren't significant and that they don't matter, the ways that we are loving in very simple ways. And I think we've almost overcomplicated what the Lord has really called to be simple. You know, just being obedient to Him and trusting that through our love offerings, although they may feel small, that He is going to multiply them and He's going to use them in really mighty ways.
I am Liz Wright. Welcome to Live Your Best Life. The only thing that matters now is living by the power of this wonderful new creation life. We're going to become an undefeatable force of radiating glory, and we are rising up strong now in this hour. Hi, family. Thank you for tuning in to this week's what's going to be a beautiful, very special episode of Live Your Best Life with, of course, me, Liz Wright. My special guest joining me for today's conversation, she is a mum, she's a wife, she is a podcast show host of the very popular podcast, The Love Offering Podcast. She's also an author, and she's just launching her new devotional, which I have been reading, and it's beautiful. It's called Everyday Prayers for Love. And it actually, it's an invitation into a journey going deeper into experiencing the immense love of Jesus, being filled with His love all over again, and then able to express that love into your life, into the people in your life in a supernatural way. So I'm really excited about the conversation today with the amazing Rachel Adams. Rachel, welcome.
Hi, Liz. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you on. And like I said to you before we jumped on live, I love your book. I just think it's an essential book right now. And it's a journey, isn't it? It's an invitation for people to just dive in and go deeper into experiencing what I think is the most important thing in the whole world, which is the love of Jesus, like the authentic love of Jesus. And just to be able to move into a deeper experience of being able to then radiate His love out, which is what everybody desperately needs. Hey, okay. So question one, I wanted to ask you, for people that don't know you, can you share with us a little bit of your story? Because it's clear from reading the book that you are passionate about people experiencing the God of love that you know. Yeah, in an authentic, life-changing way. So tell us a little bit of your story, like how you ended up with this passion and you've experienced His love that way.
Yeah, absolutely. It has been a journey. You know, I feel like the Lord is such a gentleman and He slowly reveals more and more of Himself as we're ready. The beginning of my story with Him, I grew up in a divorced home. My father was not around very much. I had some friends that took me to a church play. It was called Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. And during that play, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But in that moment, Liz, it was more out of fear that I didn't want to go to hell. I didn't know anything beyond that. And I do believe that my salvation was very secure in that moment, but I didn't have much discipleship beyond that. Fast forward, me becoming a mom, so that was 16 years ago. I was holding my son, Will, and that was the very first time I started to read my Bible all the way through. And in that moment, as I was learning how to become a mother, I believed that God was teaching me about Himself as my heavenly Father and of His love for me, and that there was much more than just having Him as my Savior and not going to hell, but there was this love that I could experience here and now on earth and forever in eternity. And so since that moment of 16 years ago and reading my Bible and Him just continuing to pursue my heart, I really started to get involved in church. And church was such an integral part of just the Lord surrounding me with a beautiful community to pour into me. So the Lord was pouring into me, community was pouring into me. And then I reached this moment one day in a church pew. I attend a pretty traditional church. And it was this moment the Lord was speaking to my heart, it's time to pour out. And so I know we're going to get more into that, but it's been an epiphany, a constant epiphany for me. But that was one of the most pivotal moments.
Wow. So all that time you were being poured into, you were growing in your experience of how loved you actually are. Is that what, and then you got to that point where there was like, okay, now it's time to start.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and of course, I do think that I was probably pouring out maybe in ways that I didn't even realize, and people constantly pouring into me. You know, I've actually also, this is not a shameless plug, but I've written a book called A Little Goes a Long Way. And I really believe that is the crux of my life, how these little moments consistently over time, little encounters, little conversations, little invitations from specific people at different times in my life has shaped the trajectory of my life. And it still continues to do that, and how our lives can do the exact same for other people. And so it was really people believing in me, people seeing something in me. And I started to actually teach Bible study at my church and lead women's ministry. And of course, becoming a mother and being a wife to my husband. We've been married for almost 20 years. And so there's been constant little ways that the Lord has continued to pour into me, because we are God's hands and feet. And so he's used those people, and he's used the church to minister to me. And of course, the Holy Spirit to minister to me as I've spent time with him. And then thankfully, I've been able to pour out to so many people as the Holy Spirit leads as well.
Yeah, I love it. It's you. We forget, don't we, like how we are actually supernaturally natural people, and it's it's the little things, you know, day by day, those moments, those interactions where we're able to just, in a moment, show kindness, show compassion, just be considerate. We forget, like you just said, other people impacted you and shaped the trajectory of your life. When they probably weren't even realizing what they were doing, they were just being authentically themselves in their relationship with Jesus, which is, we are love, aren't we? So ultimately, it's really important to remember that. So I wanted to ask you, so in the book, you've obviously done a deep dive into what love is biblically, that you've really unpacked that. And I think it's so helpful. And it's so important. So can we go there? Will you just explain to us? Because it is actually what Jesus said, isn't it? Like when he was asked, what's the greatest command? And he said, to love God, love one another, and love yourself. When I was reading that, it just impacted me all over again. It's like, yeah, we are. That is who we are. It's our authentic identity. And there's guidance. I mean, obviously, we have Holy Spirit in the center of us, enabling us to love supernaturally. There is real clear biblical guidance that reveals the nature of God, and you unpack it so beautifully in the book. And so I want to spend time meditating on these different attributes of who God is, and therefore who we are now, because as we become intentional and love this way, this is what changes the world. I mean, it's like, you know, like, what would the world look like if we actually centered back into these central truths and the capacity supernaturally now that we have to live this way? So can I ask you to just to go there a little bit, because it's powerful.
Yeah, you're right. You know, that Jesus, some of his last words were, well, the greatest commandment, to love the Lord God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then he also says that we will be known by our love, that's how people will know that we are his disciples. And the world is in need of God's love. We can look at ourselves in our own hearts and look in the mirror, and we can look at our families, we can look at our communities, and know that people are in desperate need of love, and not just our love, but God's love through us. And so as I was starting to research this, I have a friend that has had just an unimaginably hard life. And she said, Rachel, how can a good God who is supposed to love me allow all of these terrible things to happen to me? And so I purchased a Bible for her, and I started to highlight all of the times that it mentions the word love in scripture. And there are over 686 times that the Bible mentions the term. And so when I started this process, I didn't realize that, but it was one of those moments that, again, I knew that the Lord was wanting me to realize his love for me too. And so as I started to write this devotional, I thought, okay, well, if there's 686 times that it mentions the word love, where do I even begin? And so I immediately went to 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, which was a love chapter. It was actually read at my wedding. It may have been read at some of the listeners' weddings as well. But it says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. It does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And if you'll notice those, Liz, as I was reading through those are all attributes of the Lord, like you mentioned. Those are his characteristics. And those are all verbs. Those are all action-oriented attributes. And so it's not just something that we feel like doing. It's not an emotion necessarily like the world would have us to believe, but it is an active participation with the Holy Spirit. Because in these verses, when each time it says love, it's the agape love, which is that godly, sacrificial, holy, perfect love that can only come through the Lord. You know, I think for many of us, love is very confusing because we use the word love in our English language and we'll say we love our husbands, we love our children, we love chocolate, we love shopping, we love travel, you know, whatever you may say you love. And but what the Bible does is separate it into a family love, a romantic love, a friendly love, and then this agape godly love. And so when we read through the 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 and all of those attributes, it's saying God is patient. God is kind. God does not envy, et cetera. And because we as believers have the Holy Spirit residing in us, we then too can live out those attributes.
Yeah. I think that was, again, something that just impacted me. That, I mean, obviously everything you're saying there is really, really important. And 1 Corinthians 13 is like one of my like favorite scriptures. I sit in it. And I do a similar thing, actually. I will sit with the Lord and go, you are patient. You are kind. Jesus is patient. And really allow him to minister to me the truth of that he is a God of love, you know, and we are made in his image and this is our design, you know. But what you've just said there is just that impacted me again. The hope that we have, this is not about striving to become love, right, in our own strength. It's about agreeing with the truth that already is. And the fact, what you just said, that Holy Spirit is inside of us, enabling us to love supernaturally. And then as we do that, we begin to live out our authentically. There's something else you said in your book, and I thought that's profound. Like how you talk about, when we love, we experience true fulfillment. We don't have to attain the state of fulfillment through what we do with our lives in terms of our careers, et cetera, et cetera. It's not an emotional state that results from an external achievement. I mean, that's temporary, right? We feel good about ourselves and we can feel fulfilled through what we achieve, but we can live in that fulfilled state all the time. Is what you're sharing in your book, because we love. And I just, can you unpack that a little bit more? Like, I just thought that's a game changing key of truth for people's lives, and it sets you free, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, this was another one of the epiphany moments for me. It was about 8 years ago. I was sitting in a church pew, and in front of me was a love offering envelope. And typically those are for monetary giving. But in that moment, I felt like the Lord saying to me, Rachel, I've given you my love. Now I want you to go and give my love to the world around you. But I honestly, in that moment, thought, I don't know what I have to offer. I don't think that I have the gifts and the resources and the talents. I was doubting my contributions. I was doubting how I was living out my faith. And so I started having conversations with men and women, family members and friends. And then a specific friend of mine, she said, you know, Rachel, I think this is an important conversation that other people might want to listen to. You ought to think about recording these and having these conversations. How are we living out our faith in ordinary, everyday ways and actually living out the greatest commandment and loving other people as God has first loved us? And because the key is once we receive and know the height and the depth and the width and the breadth of God's love, then the next part of that verse is, then we're going to overflow that. You know, we can't keep it to ourselves. We have to go and live that out. And so that's when I started the Love Offering podcast, which is into its seventh season. And it's been beautiful to hear how so many people are doing it differently according to their gifts, according to where they live, according to who they're around, according to their experiences and their ages and the seasons of life that are in. But what I've found is that they're all equally as important, and God is all using them in really powerful ways. And I think so often we discount. We think, well, what did that smile do today? Did that really make an impact? Was that significant? What did that hug do? What did that meal share do? What did that prayer I prayed do? You know, I think the enemy wants us to disbelieve and defeat us to feeling like that our lives aren't significant and they don't matter, the ways that we are loving in very simple ways. And I think we've almost overcomplicated what the Lord is really called to be simple, you know, just being obedient to Him and trusting that through our love offerings, although they may feel small, that He is going to multiply them and He's going to use them in really mighty ways.
Yeah, beautiful. I can feel His presence really strongly while you're speaking. You guys, the Lord really wants you to hear this conversation. You are hugely significant. You're a supernatural person. And like you said, the enemy wants to undermine us, doesn't he? And make us feel like we are not having an impact in life because we're not doing something, you know, huge and intergalactic. It is as important as smiling to somebody because we don't know how desperate that person is in that moment. I've had moments in, you know, you just in the grocery store or walking down the street, you know, and there's an elderly person just, you know, and you think they're many times they're alone or just saying good morning or giving people a hug, you know, in church and remembering that a lot of people haven't been hugged for a week. You know, they're alone. And these are hugely important moments with people that change their life and help them feel loved and connected again. And we can all do that, right? And I always, in those moments, I always remember, you know, that as I tune in to the presence of God inside of me in that moment, it's the King smiling through me. It's the King touching that hand of that lonely person just gently, you know, in that moment of His Spirit's moving and releasing healing and hope and whatever, you know, He knows they need. And so, yeah, I think that's massively important. And I love that you're doing this podcast. I just think the conversations that you're having are brilliant. I mean, are there any that stand out to you? I mean, I know you've done hundreds now, but are there any that have really, really impacted you? I mean, I'm sure you're learning every time you do one, hey?
Gosh, at this point, I've had seven seasons, and so over 350 different conversations, as you do. And so they're all uniquely special, I think. I do think I learned from each and every one of them, you know, every experience. And honestly, maybe even beyond that, it's the people in my life. And that may be a cop-out that I don't want to choose one of my podcast guests. But I'm actually thinking about my husband's grandmother. She is 90 and she lives in a nursing home. She actually doesn't need to live in the nursing home, but she lives there because her husband had Alzheimer's. And so he needed to be there. And so she chose to sacrificially lay down her life and go and move into the nursing home with him and still help him to take his medications and to get him dressed and to give him his food and just sit with him and watch TV and read and hold his hand and take walks around the nursing home together. And it's just, again, back to those quiet ways of love, choosing to love the person that you've committed your life to in honor of the Lord and in honor of one another, and just leaving that beautiful legacy of love for Brian's parents and Brian and I, my husband, and for our children. You know, we are all watching them live out this love, live out these scriptures that we've just talked about. And those aren't easy ways that we do that. You know, I think often we overlook them. And my husband's grandmother, Anne, nobody really knows her other than I share her story. But I think that the Lord sees her and He knows her. And so I'm just mindful of each person listening today thinking, I may not be on a podcast. I may just be sitting in my home or sitting in the nursing home or at work in the cubicle or in my car alone. And does any of this matter? Do I still have value and worth? And is my love making a difference? And I'm here to tell you today it does.
It really does. So beautiful. The scripture that came to mind when you were speaking about your husband's grandmother was, greater love has no man than when he lays his life down for his friend. You know, and this is that, this as a lifestyle, isn't it? It's literally moment by moment, person by person, the people that the Lord's entrusted to us. I remember when I was first married to my husband, to Wesley, and the Lord said to me, I've trusted you with his heart, which is my inheritance. Mm-hmm. And it so impacted me. I mean, talk about a foundational truth to help you to remember that, you know, when in the challenging times in marriage, you know, you don't quite speak the same language, you know, mm-hmm. you're to remember actually it's the truth for all of us, isn't it? Each of our hearts belong to the Lord. They are the Lord's inheritance, and they are actually holy treasures that he's giving us the privilege of being able to love, you know, in our relationship with him, in our partnership with him. And it's, yeah, person by person, day by day. And I love it. Like, in those moments where you choose to love and you choose patience and you lay down before the Lord, and then you begin to your choice, it sort of allows his supernatural presence to become the expression, doesn't it, of your life. And we get to live in the enjoyment of that, being able to supernaturally love people. It's amazing.
I often will say that I believe that motherhood and marriage are God's way of sanctifying us, because it's a beautiful way to make us more into his image and to practice these skills. And so I never want to give the impression that I'm doing any of this perfectly. If we had my husband and my children on, they would likely tell you that I don't. And so I never want to give that false impression. And so I think, you know, so much of our conversation, we've talked about, you know, maybe the feel-good ways of loving other people, even though they're not easy. But mm-hmm. then, you know, we've talked a lot about that we have to have the Holy Spirit to do these things that we can't do in our own strength. And I'm thinking about the Bible also talks about loving our enemies. Yeah. And how do we love our enemies? Those that have betrayed us, those who that have rejected us, those that have acted in such unloving ways. Because at the end of that 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, it says, love never fails. But Liz, you and I both know love, human love, has failed us. We could talk a whole nother podcast about the ways that we have been, and the ways that we have failed too. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's really important to talk about, that Jesus knows exactly what it's like to be betrayed and rejected, and for people to treat him in unloving and unkind ways. But yet, what did he choose to do? He still chose to share a meal at the Last Supper. He still chose to wash his disciples' feet. And he still chose to die on the cross for every single one of us. Romans 5:8 says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so I think it's really important and for us to be mindful of that truth, that we can't do this perfectly. And Jesus knew that. And that's why he died on the cross for us on our behalf. But then it's through his Holy Spirit that we are able to love others who have wronged us in those ways. Doesn't mean that they have to be in your life in an active way, but we can still be patient with them. We can still not dishonor them, and we can still forgive them and love them from a distance. And so I just wanted to be mindful of those listening thinking, okay, well, but you don't know what I've gone through. Jesus does. Jesus knows what you've gone through, and he has the strength, and he can empower you to do what you can't do on your own.
Yeah, that's really, really important. Yeah. So when you have come up against situations where, you know, the Lord's requiring you to love people that have really hurt you, what do you do? How do you sit with him on it?
Yeah, it comes. Pain is interesting, isn't it? And grief and those things, because it's, you think you've gotten over it, and then there's a trigger that will open that wound again. Yeah. And so I often think, Liz, that it's kind of like the manna, our daily bread. I think that it sometimes is that way too, when with loving other people, loving our enemies. We need his daily presence. And so that looks like spending time with him in prayer and listening to him, confessing or how we're really feeling, and just talking to him about that. And then asking him to show up. And asking him to give us self-control over our mouth, asking for him to provide opportunities for us to bless that other person, to pray, because it says to pray for those who persecute you. And so This is, again, not easy, but it looks like diving into scripture, talking to other people, getting alone with the Lord daily, listening to worship music, and really being mindful of what am I filling myself up with that is going to overflow out of my life. So if we're filling ourselves up with negativity and worldly things that are going to take us on a different course, as opposed to spending the time in God's word and in community that's really pouring his love into us, then that's what's going to come out, whatever we're pouring in.
Yeah, that's really important. I remember years ago, I was walking through a very difficult situation, a very difficult relationship dynamic. And my pastor at the time said to me, pray for them until the sting stops, until the love flows. You know, and that I always remembered that. So I just move in the opposite spirit to what's coming at you, and the Lord will fill you with love and the sting will eventually stop. And it's true, isn't it? It's true. It takes time sometimes, because like you said, we don't walk perfectly. It's a journey. But one final question I wanted to ask you, for people struggling to experience the love of God, because I know that is a big issue in the body of Christ. What would you say to people? What have you found is helpful?
Yeah, I would say read God's love letter to you. Read his word. And I think that you will start to experience his love. And then just look for those glimpses of God's love. If you really look back at your own life and you are, you know, sometimes you find whatever you're seeking, I think. And so look for the ways that God has loved you. It may feel like really little small ways, but I think as you reflect on your life, you will see that he has been there. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God's love is unfailing. It is eternal. And he adores you and he delights in you. And so I think that's one of the keys too. We've got to love ourselves. That's the last part of the greatest commandment, right? To love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself. And we are made in God's image. And so I think if you love the Lord and know that you're created in his image, then you can love yourself too, when you view yourself rightly in that way.
Yeah, beautiful. Can I ask you, just in the few minutes we've got left, will you pray for people?
Oh, I'd be honored to. Thank you. Father, we love you, and we just thank you for the way that you love us, not because of anything that we do, but simply because we are your created and you are our creator, Father. I just pray for every woman listening right now that she would feel your pursuit. Father, from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, you pursued them. You said, where are you? And then in the tabernacle, you came closer in pursuit. And then with Jesus sending your son, you were coming closer in pursuit. And then Jesus dying on the cross because he loved us so much, and sending the Holy Spirit in pursuit of our hearts, Father. And I know and trust that you are coming again in pursuit of your beloved. And so I just pray, Father, that each woman right now would just know that you are pursuing her heart. Help her to realize how much you adore her and delight in her, not because of anything that she's doing, not because of anything that she will do, Father, or anything she has done that maybe she regrets, Father, for that she would just be so filled with your love that she would overflow that to the world around her, so that other people and other women and men and children would come to know the lover of them soul. They would come to know you, Father. We love you. We praise you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
We agree. Amen. Oh, holy, feel Holy Spirit's presence so strongly. I agree. And that you will, each one of you will experience a fresh immersion in the love of Jesus this week, beyond anything that you've known, that you will literally be baptized in his love all over again, meeting every single one of your heart's needs. Amen. Amen. Rachel, thank you. Thank you for pouring your heart and your life out into this book. It's so important, and for giving us your precious time.
Thank you so much for having me.
And guys, thank you for giving us your precious time. Have the most beautiful week experiencing the love of Jesus. And I look forward to being with you again next week. God bless. Every week, either myself or other trusted friends of mine bring the Word of God as a doorway where you can then enter in and experience the heart of God. We now have thousands of testimonies of people encountering the heart of God, some for the first time. I want to extend a personal invitation to you. to join the IMC and come on this incredible journey together with us.